Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Most of the people who identify themselves as Christians, although not all, would probably argue that unity in religion is desirable. In that respect, they are like the psalmist of old. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133, 1. But is it possible to have unity unless we all recognize and honor the same authority? If one group accepts the Bible alone as its final authority, and another group accepts tradition, experiences, and the church as its authority, there is no basis for unity. That was Paul's rationale for writing, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him." Colossians 3:17. If all groups that claim to be Christian would do all in the name of the Lord, we could have the unity for which Jesus prayed, John 17:20 and 21. Unity cannot be achieved and enjoyed on any other foundation. Instrumental music in worship may seem such an insignificant matter, but is it really insignificant? Did you know that the Roman Catholic Church had serious disagreements over whether to use instruments of music in worship? The same was true of the Presbyterian Church. Instrumental music was one of the sources of conflict, though not the only one, that caused the split between the Churches of Christ and the Christian Church. Churches of Christ have always insisted, along with the Apostle Paul, that we must have book, chapter, and verse for what we do in the work and worship of the church. If everyone followed that pattern, would it not be possible to have the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Why cannot we agree that there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God? Ephesians 4, 3-6. Some of the founders of denominational churches and some of their most influential leaders opposed instrumental music in worship. I have time to give you just one example. Adam Clark, a prominent Methodist scholar, wrote a commentary on the entire Bible. Clark strongly opposed instrumental music in worship, as can be seen from the following excerpt. "I further believe that the use of such instruments of music in the Christian church is without the sanction and against the will of God, that they are subversive of the spirit of true devotion, and that they are sinful. I am an old man and an old minister, and I here declare that I never knew them productive of any good in the worship of God, and have had reason to believe that they were productive of much evil. Music, as a science, I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and here I register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of the author of Christianity." The late and most eminent divine, the Reverend John Wesley, who was a lover of music and an elegant poet, when asked his opinion of instruments of music being introduced into the chapels of the Methodists, said, in his terse and powerful manner, "I have no objection to instruments in our chapels, provided they are neither heard nor seen." Volume 4, page 684. But not only did John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, oppose mechanical instruments of music in worship, so did John Calvin, Martin Luther, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, England's most influential Baptist preacher, and others. Why did these scholars and theologians oppose instrumental music in worship? They knew they had no scriptural authority for including it in worship to God. They apparently believed they had to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why do modern churches, including some left-leaning churches of Christ, fail to honor the authority of God's inspired Word? I challenge you to think seriously about these matters and commit yourself to do only what God has authorized in His Word. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.